Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you. Familiar passage of scripture, and we give God glory, we give him praise, we give him honor, and we thank God for those who constantly join us every week by way of radio broadcast, amen, over radio stations of 1400 and Heaven 600 as well, 12 noon on 1400 from 12 to 1230, and on Sunday nights, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Heaven 600. We thank God just for the opportunity to spread the good news, amen. Oh yeah, Jesus is alive and well, and I don't care who know it. Come on, give him praise tonight. And we also thank him for our television broadcast every first Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on Channel 2, which is WMAR-TV. Turn with me now to John, the third chapter. Familiar passage of scripture. We look forward to sharing with our young people who are returning to school, which is on the 16th of August. We shall give away school supplies as they prepare to go back. And want to encourage you to join us in that event. Vaccinations given by Baltimore City Health Department, haircuts and hairstyles for kids 4 to 18 years of age. Hair must be shampooed prior to any hair services. God is kind. Amen. Meet and greet your school representative. And so we encourage those who are listening by radio, you have children from the ages between the ages of 14 and 18, they qualify for the haircut. Amen. Praise God on today as well as school supplies. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've been mighty good to us. Come on, you're mighty good to us. Isn't he mighty good to us? Yeah, he is. John, the third chapter. Praise God. Beginning at the first verse of this scripture. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Teacher, or Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things or do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be, born again. You must be born again. You must be the miracle and mandate of the new birth. You must be born again. Thank God for the word. Amen. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The good master answered in words plain and the true, you must be born. again. You must be born again. You must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, you must be born again. You must be, come on, say it. Oh, you must be born again. You must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, you must be born again. You must be, you must be born again. You must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, you must be born again. And we give him praise for that truth. You must be born again. Some years ago in our nation's capital during the reign of Jimmy Carter, who was president, during the 70s, he stunned and created a stir in the nation when he announced that he was a born-again believer, had arrived into the White House, and that his announcement of his Christian experience was deeper than just making a politically correct statement. When he arrived into the White House, he did away with all of the party stuff. The liquor had to go. There'd be no more parties in the White House. He put in all of that because his faith was the first and most foremost thing in his life. And from there, he also created in the nation at that time, for the most part, he created this kind of, if you will, flurry that people were then, should I say, Christianity then became popular in the sense because the president said it's okay to be a Christian. But I beg the difference. It was already okay to be a Christian, whether it's popular or not. Jesus didn't come to establish a popular religion. He came to die a redemptive death. But nonetheless, this statement, born again Christian, became, if you will, almost a household word, even for persons who never had the experience. And people got church membership mixed up with, if you will, discipleship. And people were going to church because, as I said before, the president's announcement made it popular. And many believers were comfortable with their faith because, again, it was the politically comfortable thing to do. Because the president, the head man of the country, had announced he was a Christian. But he later discovered that just because he was a Christian didn't mean he was going to have a successful presidency. Because when he left office as a failed president. You're going to pray with me, aren't you? But that had nothing to do with the new birth. And Jesus, in his discussion with this particular Pharisee, this this particular church leader, this particular theologian, this particular religious man, presented to him a challenge. When the man approached Jesus with the query or with the statement that was designed to be flattering, "Good master, we know that you are a teacher sent by God, for no man can do these miracles unless God be with him." One thing about the relationship with God, having a relationship with God, it is no secret thing. And until the church gets the new birth right, we're not going to get anything right. Until we get people saved and not signed up, you're not going to get too much done in the supernatural. Because busing rows and filled up pews is no clear indication that the new birth experience has taken place. For even now, I hear the people of God in some places of assembly bemoaning the fact that their season has ended. And they declare that and they measure that based on how many seats are filled in the sanctuary. But I tell people all the time, you should never measure yourself based on what you see in the immediate, if you will, or in the flesh realm. Because Jesus couldn't keep a crowd. And I don't know how you expect to keep one if the Lord couldn't keep it. Because if you're standing for gospel truth, you're standing for what is right, every now and then you'll find yourself walking by yourself. And so I don't think numbers, if you will, is a real indication that there is spirituality in numbers. I just believe that God moves in spite of numbers. As a matter of fact, the Lord took 12 men, or should I say 11 men, and turned the world upside down. On another occasion, he sent them forth and scattered them throughout Jerusalem through persecution, and everywhere they went, the Bible says they created a stir to the end that sinners got saved. And even those who thought they were religious discovered they didn't have nothing. After all of those years of practicing Judaism, the Bible says when Peter preached, even some Pharisees got saved. Because of the new birth, the power of the new birth. And Jesus makes it clear that it doesn't matter how religious you are, doesn't matter what your church denomination would be, if he were on the planet in the physical sense as a rabbi, it wouldn't matter to him what church you went to. It didn't matter what your religious affiliation was, whether you're Protestant, Catholic, whatever the case may be, Muslim or whatever, that wouldn't matter to him. Because he had one, if you will, central truth. That religion is no guarantee that you have a relationship with God. And that your religion is no route, it is no entrance into the presence of God. And so he says to this man, who is a man who is very theologically trained, the Bible says when this brother approached him with the statement of flattery, "We know that you are a teacher sent by God because you have evidence that God is with you." Nicodemus was really confirming for us and confirming, yes, for himself, or speaking a confession that he didn't realize would impact the world long after he was gone. He would now confirm that evidence follows those who are walking with God. The evidence is signs and wonders. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." He said, "In my name they shall eat or drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm them. In my name they shall take up serpents." In my name.
Because whenever you're walking in his nature, not the label Jesus, but the nature of Christ, you take on the very character of Christ. And Nicodemus is merely confirming the words of Christ, these signs shall follow. Everywhere he went, power fell. Everything he did, God blessed it and breathed on it. To the end that lives were not only changed, but lives were blessed. And so here Jesus stands in conversation with this ruler who chose to come by night. I need you not to ignore the scriptures on this tonight, because I want to dispel a whole lot of, if you will, myths about the new birth. One thing the new birth said, according to this conversation with Jesus, according to this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, the new birth has no timeline. In other words, I don't care how old you get, you can get saved. You're never too far gone for God. You say, well, Reverend, how do you see that in the text? The book says he came by night. And night is always metaphorical for the last part of the day. And night suggests to me that, one, I'm at the close of a day. But nighttime also suggests something else. Nighttime suggests dread and dreariness. I don't care how drag and dreary life gets, you can always come to Jesus. Oh yeah, nighttime is always, in some circles, considered a frightening time. It's a time where all colors lose their distinctiveness. When it's dark, everything looks alike. Oh yeah, it's not easy to discern the difference between one color or another when you're dealing in darkness. And Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, man, it doesn't matter what time you come. Whatever time you come to God, it's always a good time. It's always the right time, because any time is a good time to come to God. And it bothers me when I hear seniors say, it's too late for me now. But it's never too late until they throw dirt in your face and heap up daisies on your grave. It doesn't matter how late you come, just come on anyhow. It doesn't matter how much time you've given the world and satanic activity, if you can just come to him before it's too late. God says you're still a recipient, you're still a candidate for the new birth. Nicodemus says, how can a man when he's old re-enter his mother's womb a second time? What Nicodemus was really saying, look, Lord, it's too late for me. I can't start over fresh now. I've gone too far. I've lived too long. I've gone too far out of reach. I cannot change my life. I'm the way I am because that's the way I've been. It's too late for me to change. But I hear Jesus saying, listen, man, verily I say unto you, you must be born again. If you expect to know more about God or more God past your theological training, if you expect to know God past the law, you better learn. You've got to come into an experience with the Spirit of God. If you expect to know God beyond your title and your training and your position, you need to understand that an inward change must take place. Because that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And only way you can really experience the kingdom of God, you got to take on a kingdom nature. You got to take on kingdom nature in order to develop kingdom character. And the only way to do that, you have to be born of a spiritual seed. And the only way that can happen, the Holy Ghost must infuse your heart to the end that your soul man, your spirit man is literally transformed. You can't claim rabbinical status and expect that status to get you in heaven or get you on the right side of God. Synagogue membership won't act as a passport to paradise. You need to have the pardoning grace of God working in your life. What I love about the text is there is the overtone of mercy being offered, because the fact he came at night says that God is always open to hear some sinner pray. Aren't you glad tonight, that this evening rather, God's ears are always open to hear the repentance prayer of the sinner, so that that sinner can receive redemption? Jesus says, I want you to understand, man, the miracles are real. Yes, the miracles are real, and they are of God. But basically, you can do the same thing if you allow the Holy Spirit to do a new work in your life. I want to tell somebody tonight, you don't have to have REV or elder in front of your name in order to do the work of kingdom business. You don't have to be a rabbi, a priest, in order to have God to manifest his power in your life. You don't have to have a PhD or have prophet so-and-so or bishop so-and-so in front of your name if you just want to see God work miracles in your life. All you need to do is offer God a surrendered life. If you and I surrender to him, he will, yes, he will save your dying soul. But not only will he save you, he'll sanctify you. That's the cleansing power of God. Not just cleanse you today, but he cleanses us tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow, because the process is an ongoing process. But one thing about being born again, it's God adapting me and grafting me into the family of the Holy of Holies. In other words, whenever you get saved or become born again, right then and there, at that moment, you're no longer an earth creature, but you are a creature of eternity. You're no longer just a citizen of Baltimore, Maryland, and a citizen of the United States, but right then you become a citizen of paradise. Is there anybody here know anything about citizenship? I got to close, but Jesus attempts to explain the new birth to Nicodemus. And all I've been trying to give you in the intro was the significance of having, yes, the first point, it's a mandate. He says you must be born again, which suggests that the new birth is an imperative. The hardest thing to get people who think they know the Lord, is the hardest thing to get them to know is that they don't know him. Oh yeah, the hardest thing is to convince carnal Christians that you must be born again. It's easier to get a dope addict or an alcoholic saved, get a church devil saved, because they think they're already saved, but they don't have any power or evidence to bring any confirmation to their so-called experience. I wish I had a praying house. Well, when you look at the text now, Jesus says, you must be. Tell your neighbor, you must be. You must. must be born again, which suggests that the new birth is a personal imperative. Yeah, you see, God don't have any grandchildren. You are either a child of God or a child of hell. And what I'm trying to tell you is, just because your mama saved don't make you saved. Just because your daddy saved don't make you saved. The new birth is a mandate, and God don't have any grandchildren. He only have sons and daughters. You're gonna pray with me, aren't you? It's a mandate. Everybody got to be born again. The preacher must be born again. He must be God sent and not seminary sent. He must be born of the Spirit and born of the water. Yeah, and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Good afternoon, Harvest. But I need to tell you, the new birth is not only a mandate, but it is a mystery. He says it's like the wind. It blows where it wills, and you cannot tell whither it goeth or whither it cometh. So is every man who is born of God. In other words, I can't tell you that tonight you're going to get born again, because I don't know what God has on the calendar of birthing for you. But I do know this much: if you ask him, he will do it. Anybody here know he will do it? If you call on him and seek him, he'll bring you out. Yes, he will. You see, I'm tired of people treating a new birth like some kind of microwave magic experience. It takes time to get yourself right with God. It takes time to grow in grace. It takes time.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliatt Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.